excited because I'm pretty sure all of you have probably heard the song Reckless Love. If you haven't heard Reckless Love, you need to go listen to it right now, but grab some tissues because it is overwhelming. Anyways, seriously, Corey Asbury is on the show today and he is an amazing guy. I follow him on Instagram. I think he's hilarious. I've got to meet him in person a few times and he's become a great friend, and I cannot wait for you guys to get to know him. What up, fam? I am so excited about this Whoa, That's Good podcast because we got a really cool person, Corey Asbury, in the house.
Hey, how you doing?
Heyo, so good. So, simplest podcast ever. One question. It's not that hard, but it could be confusing. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Okay, so I've been thinking long and hard.
Good.
I've been given lots of good advice, but I think the most important thing that's ever been told to me was from a guy named Mike Bickle, who's at a place called the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. I spent 8 years there, and he told me this right before my wife and I got married. And he said, "The first one to say I'm sorry wins." Hmm. And for me, that was huge because I was a very, very prideful person, and I hated saying sorry. I hated apologizing because I hated being wrong, you know? Yeah. And it was massive in my life. The first one to say sorry in an argument, in a altercation, in a conversation, whatever it is. If you mess up, you know, in a relationship, if you can go to that person and actually say, "Hey, I messed up. I'm sorry about that."
Yeah.
And apologize, then you win. And that's always given me motivation. So that was the biggest thing for me.
Wow, that's so good. You know what I love about it is I think that whoever said that to you is genius, because I think that, especially if it's a hard thing for you to say you're sorry and you are, I don't know, struggle with pride in the past or something, it's cool that he made it a competition because it almost speaks to your personality. It's like, okay, you know, you're going to win if you say I'm sorry first. And then that same sense of like passion that maybe even fueled pride at one time is now fueling this like sense of, no, I'm going to do this the right way. And that is so, so cool. And I also love that it has to do with your marriage, because that's something I wanted to hit on, because I got to meet your wife, beautiful. Yeah. At the Bethel conference, and just hearing about what you guys do together in worship was super cool, and I'm sure people would love to know that side of your life.
So. Yeah. We met, we've been married for almost 12 years, which is insane. I'm only 32, so it feels like half my life now.
That's awesome.
We met in Kansas City, actually, at the same place, the House of Prayer, and we've been leading worship together for a long time, for a great number of years, and I remember in the beginning it was difficult because I was kind of trying to be her leader while leading worship with her, which is very difficult, you know, because I was saying, "Hey, babe, I want you to work on this and this and this." And my tone wasn't always wonderful back in the day. Like I said, there was so much pride and so much, you know, young, zealous. I wanted to do well, but I didn't know how to do it, you know, so I would say these things to her, trying to get her to do better, and it would end up hurting her, you know. But we have come so far, and now we lead worship together regularly, actually, at our church.
So cool.
And it's incredible. You know, the synergy that you have with the person that you live your whole life with is just amazing. So much, I don't have to say anything. She knows exactly where I'm going. I know exactly where she's going. It's really a special thing to be able to lead worship, and it's something that's really beautiful in our relationship together.
So cool.
Yeah.
I love it. I just love you guys and all that y'all do, all that y'all put out. So I want to hear a little bit about the backstory and like making the last album that you made and just the creativity on it. I know we didn't really talk about that we were going to go there, but and I wasn't even planning on it, but I do know that that album has reached so many people, so many homes, so many car rides, and I know that beyond it just being songs, it's become people's life anthems. And I know that that's probably a huge thing to carry and just know, like, oh my gosh, that the Lord used you in that way. So I would just love to know, when you were writing that, what did that look like?
Sure. Yeah. I think, you know, there was so much fear of failure in my heart as a young person. Mm-hmm. Growing up, my dad, he was pretty harsh. He was pretty rough on us kids. There was a lot of kind of verbal, you know, maybe even verbal abuse sometimes, and words that were harsh. And I grew up with sort of this idea that God must be that same way, right? He must be sort of harsh, sort of mean, sort of, you know, standoffish. And I just put that on God, you know, he must be like that. And I had so much fear of failure because of that. And I had this performance mentality, and I got to do A, B, and C to get the affections of God, because I had to do A, B, and C to get my dad's attention and affection, right? Wow. You know? And so growing up, I did everything that I could. I played football, baseball, all these sports, and I excelled at all of them because my motivation was actually the wrong motivation. I wanted my dad to be like, son, you know, you've done it. Wow. I'm proud of you. And I would hear that sometimes, but that was so much of my motivation growing up. And that kind of moved into sort of the spiritual realm as well. You know, my relationship with God, I felt like I had to do something to earn his love. I felt like I had to say the right things or play the right things or write the right things or read my Bible a certain amount in a certain day. And then maybe, you know, God would be like, you finally did it, Corey. You know, you've arrived. And
y'all, we all grew up at camp around here. We are camp kids. We love camp, love a good camp game, camp song. All of it is so fun. Summers at camp are definitely awesome. And my kids are too young for camp, so I got to have some other things to entertain them. And KiwiCo is a great way to bring camp right to your door. Some of the fun of camp, at least. KiwiCo delivers some seriously fun learning games for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities. Every month, kids receive crates packed with projects and items to help them explore science, technology, and art in ways that will capture their attention no matter what their age. So I mentioned our love for camp. My mom actually was the craft director at camp all my life. And so she was always doing new crafts and teaching us crafts and led all the kids in that. And so it really is fun to get to do some crafts with the kids at home, especially with KiwiCo, because they always have an educational element to them for no matter what age your kids are. So even Honey, the little crafts that KiwiCo has sent are great because it's teaching her things that I might not necessarily think to teach her at this age, but through a fun way, it helps her. KiwiCo will help you engage your child's natural curiosity and encourage them to be an innovator and creative thinker. They'll learn new skills and new connections and build the confidence that they need to navigate through the world. We have loved watching Honey and Haven grow and learn, and thankfully, KiwiCo has made it so much fun along the journey. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
That record was sort of the redefining of my relationship with God and asking him, okay, what do you actually think? How do you actually feel about me? I know what I think you think, and that's probably wrong. And he just began to speak and tell me what he thought. And these songs began to kind of come out of that place. And Reckless Love is, you know, obviously the biggest one of those, but that's about the love of God that that comes even though mm-hmm. we don't deserve it, you know, in the yeah. line. We don't have to earn it because we can't. And yeah. that's the beauty of grace and the love of God.
Wow. Ooh, okay. That was good. That was beautiful. That's actually super encouraging to me where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. Let's just get vulnerable on what that's good. Because somebody actually asked me yesterday. They said, Sadie, what has God been teaching you the most this summer? And I started thinking about it. And I think that the biggest thing is that, and this is kind of a hard lesson to learn and to hear, even from like my ears from what the Lord was saying to me, but that I think that I put a lot of disappointment on God that was not at all God's doing. It was what people have said to me or people have done to me yeah. that was attached to the word love with it. When somebody would say, I love you, but then they would also speak harsh words, or I love wow. you, but they would not follow up with their actions in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of saw God like that. It's like, yeah, I understand he loves me, but I'm disappointed in some of the other things that have yeah. happened in my life and in my story. And I think that finally I set for a minute, like you said, and I just said, God, actually, what do you say about yeah. this? And I think that a lot of times, because we see something that we think might reflect God, because it maybe has the word love or has the word father with it, we just say, oh, that is you, God. Instead of saying, actually, God, I'm going to let you have a time to speak, and I'm just going to actually fix my eyes to see you. And every single time, truth is put over yeah. the situation and covers the situation. And it's actually amazing to hear the heart behind that, because now thinking about the words of your song, I'm like, yeah, in those moments, if you would actually have those moments to be still and to ask God to come in and ask God, what do you say? What are you like? And then just actually sing the song that you wrote, Reckless yeah, Love, yeah. like it just pours that truth right over the situation. And so that's beautiful. I hope if anybody's listening and you're like me or you're like Corey, and maybe you've put something on God that actually wasn't God, but it was somebody that made of use the word I love you, or use had the word father in your life, that figure, whatever it was. I just encourage you to sit for a minute and ask God, give him a chance to just speak to who he really is and get to know the character of who our God is, because he's a good one. And I know that sometimes when you hear he's a good father and you're in a place where you can't really believe that, it's hard to hear. But I do encourage you to just sit still for a minute. So cool. Okay, so now that was like super serious talk, but you are a hilarious guy. Your Instagram absolutely kills me. I just want to know more about who you are. Like, okay, for instance, I think that sometimes people like think that they know us, but like they don't really yeah. know us, you know?
Oh, totally.
So like, what is every day in life? So maybe not every day. What's something you love to do? You and your wife, you and yeah. your family.
Sure. I mean, if you follow me on Instagram, you definitely know lately that I love fishing.
Nice.
I think it's weird because I think a lot of people see that and they're like, oh, he's posting fishing pictures again. But honestly, my life and the way that it's gotten crazy this past year
uh-huh.
With travel and then, you know, the song and this record kind of taken off in ways that I never expected.
Yeah.
Fishing is actually a place of peace for me.
So cool.
And so a lot of times I bring my son who's 8 years old, I'll bring my daughter who's 4 years old. We also have another daughter who's 1.5, so I don't bring her. But, you know, I'll bring those guys out with me on my kayak. And that's the place where it's just me and God.
So
and for
cool.
a lot of people, you know, it's almost like you think, I got to be in church to experience
yeah.
God, right? Or I got to be reading my Bible to experience mm-hmm. God. And I think the biggest thing that he's teaching me lately is just get out in nature and
yeah,
talk to me.
Yeah, so good.
And so that's actually my place of peace. But that's like my favorite thing in the world, because there's also a measure of mystery to it.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to catch. Like, that's so fun
that's so
to
cool.
me, because you might catch a 10-pound bass yeah. that day. And if I catch a 10-pound bass, I'm freaking out. Like,
yeah.
everyone listening is like, yeah, whatever. But I'm like freaking out fully,
yeah.
you know? So I love that. And just having fun with the family, being crazy and, you know.
Yeah.
I've been trying to jump on the trampoline with my kids lately, which I think is a bad idea because my knees
That's
are getting
awesome.
A little jacked up. But I'm nailing a flip lately.
Hey, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, and
it.
I can almost do a 540 flip, which I'm pretty fired up.
Oh, what a way.
Yeah,
front
yeah,
or back flip? Where are we going?
Front. So it's like forward and you spin at the same time. I haven't worked up the courage to do a back flip since
that's
I was
hilarious.
Like 16. So.
Oh my gosh. See, that's funny. I can do a back flip. I cannot do a front flip. That
okay,
scares
that's
me.
Weird.
I don't want to see where I'm going. I'd rather just, you know, unknown. Woo, let's do it. That's hilarious. No, I love that you said that. I actually just went fly fishing for the first time.
Yeah. Oh, I saw that.
Oh,
yeah,
wait.
I was
okay.
jealous.
Seriously.
Wait, where were you again?
In Montana
yeah,
with the
see.
Lescos. It was the coolest thing ever. But I had such a God lesson in that whole thing. It was a 3-hour trip. Literally, we had 3 hours. We were supposed to, I mean, we're thinking we're gonna catch so many fish. I was like, shoot, we're having a fish fry tonight, you know?
No, that's different.
Oh, no. Okay. It was so different. I'm used to fishing with like a worm and a cane pole. And
that's
like,
not seriously, fishing.
You put it in. Okay.
That ain't fishing.
Okay. Okay. It's Louisiana fishing. You put the worm in and it's like right out. You have a fish every time. This fly fishing. Holy cow. It was 2 hours and 45 minutes. I had not caught one fish. Aww, and I was like, but you want to talk about my prayer life, okay? My prayer life was bumped in. And so I was like, Lord, just teach me through this moment, patience, whatever. But like, I know there's going to be a fish at the end of this journey. You know, this has to be a promise message. Well, it was 2 hours and 57 minutes. I could literally see where we're pulling up. I put that fly in there one more time and boom, Montana native fish. And
That's amazing.
Cannot even tell you. I totally relate to your, if you caught a bass, you'd be freaking out. I almost like tipped the boat. I was freaking out. It was the coolest thing ever. But I love that you said that about church. It's like, it's not all about just being at church. You can you can relate to God and encounter Him anywhere you are. And actually, I drive a pretty good ways to go to my church. And I've actually found that when I turn my radio off and I just sit in the car and I just have this drive, a lot of times that's actually when I encounter God the most.
Totally.
Is on the way to church.
Totally.
And when I'm at church, you know, I get to be with the family, the body. You know, there's that community aspect and it's so important. But some of my most personal encounters with God have been on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just love that. I feel like a overarching theme through this is those moments when we get silent and we actually just allow Him to just be Him. That's when we're overwhelmed. And so that's super cool. Anything else that you want to give as just a piece of advice? I know you gave us your best piece you've been given, but anything you would tell just overall to this generation?
Yeah.
And I know that's kind of a, people always
ask
me, like, give me
so
the
good.
Best word you ever had. And I'm like, oh, Lord. But anything you just want to give.
Yeah, I think I can give you what I'm learning, you know, and that's for me lately, let God fight for you.
Good.
I think in this past season of my life, I always thought that I had to do it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's almost like this, pull up your bootstraps and get it done because you're your own maker and blah, blah, blah. And it's, I think that's bull. Like, to put it lightly, I don't think that's right. And I think when we actually invite God into our story, whether it's a victory or a triumph or a trial or whatever it is, you just say, okay, God, I actually need your help. You invite Him in. He's just waiting for you to invite Him, you know, especially if it's something difficult. I imagine Him sitting there going, just like, just ask me. Just ask me. I want to help. And so many times we think we have to do it for ourselves. And so I've just been going, okay, God, I'm going to let you fight for me. And I've found, you know, this kind of tongue in cheek, but He almost always does better than I would have. Like, it always ends up better than it would have ended up if I fought for myself. And I used to think, well, to be a strong personality and a strong leader, I have to be a certain way and I have to just bowl people over to get what I want and what I need. And the truth is, that's actually not how Jesus was. He was kind. He was meek.
That's
he was
good.
Gentle. And He let the Father do what the Father needed to do. You know, and so I've just been going, okay, God, I invite you into this story, whether it's something difficult or something awesome, and I just allow you to fight for me. I allow you to take care of it because you're going to do it better than I would.
That's so good. Wow. I've actually been reading Daniel lately, and I've been reading it over and over and over again, and I think the reason why is because of the part where it says the angel came and shut the mouth of the lion. And I just have been so intrigued by that, like, Daniel didn't fight the lion himself, which obviously, if God wanted that to be the story, He could have done that, considering God gave David the strength to, you know, kill lions and bears with his hands. But Daniel, he didn't give that strength. He let the angel come and fight the lion. And it's a huge part of that story because the king that was around, like, he was able to see, like, oh my gosh, what a faithful God you serve, that your God would send an angel. And it was this huge thing about God fighting for him. And so it's actually cool. I wouldn't have made that connection until you're just saying that. But it's that same thing of just like, God can do it a lot better than you can.
Totally.
And when you let Him do it, then the attention at the end of the day is not on you. And so the people around you are able to say, wow, what a faithful God you are.
There's one more thing in Daniel. Just sorry, real quick. You got me fired up.
No, come
about the
on,
Bible.
Say it.
There's one more thing. The Bible in Daniel, it says that as soon as he started to pray and fast and ask God, it says immediately an angel was dispatched to go out and help. You know, so as soon as he asked, bam, something happened.
So
something,
good.
Something changed. So I think that's really sweet.
I love it. Just like you said, he's just waiting on that ask. And the minute you ask, all of Heaven's Army is coming towards you. That's so cool. Come on, Corey. Whoa, way good. Way, way good. Well, seriously, thank you for spending time with us. And not only just allowing us into your life, but giving us the best advice. This is a solid situation.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
appreciate
thanks. All right, y'all. You know what time it is. Time to call Mama. So we're going to call Mama with our best piece of advice and our worst piece of advice. Let's see what she has to say.
What's up?
Heyo. How you doing, Mom?
Good. How are you?
Good. I actually have been spending the day with Corey Asbury, and it was awesome. Oh, my gosh. You are not ready.
So cool.
It was really cool because, you know, Reckless Love, obviously, I think everybody in the world knows Reckless Love. And
Amazing.
He told us, like, the backstory on, like, why he wrote it and stuff. So it was awesome.
So awesome. You're getting to talk to all the best people.
I know. It's been great. Okay, are you ready for the Whoa, That's Good, Whoa, That's Bad test?
Yes.
Brought to you by the Whoa, That's Good podcast Instagram. A little plug. Okay, anyways, to the point. Okay, this is really hilarious because I think we've actually, in our house, I know me and Bella have both been here. Cutting your own bangs. I should just stop there. Cutting your own bangs. I'm just going to go ahead and say, whoa, that's bad.
I can just go ahead. Whoa, that is bad. Is there more to this advice?
Yeah, it's actually more. And it gets way better and worse.
Okay, let me hear it.
Cutting your own bangs after a breakup is a great idea and a perfect way to look new to get over him.
Whoa, that is really bad.
That is so bad.
Okay. First of all, do not make any major life changes after a breakup.
That's
and cutting
good.
Your bangs is a major life change.
Let's all agree on that. You will never... No, not only will you not forget the season that you had bangs, nobody in your life around you will let you forget the season of your life that you had bangs.
Cutting your bangs is always a bad idea, but cutting your bangs after a breakup is like a... really bad idea.
That is like, that's bad, y'all. Like, don't
that's
ever
so
do that. That don't ever. That's actually funny because, you know, Lainey has like been rocking the bangs for quite some time now.
Yeah.
And Lainey looks me in the eye every day and says, Sadie, is everybody talking about me like in my bangs, like the way that people normally talk about bangs, or like, am I actually doing it? I'm like, actually, Boo, I think you're actually doing it. It's quite impressive.
That's a true friend.
I know.
It's like, I need to be real about the bangs.
I know. I told her,
you know,
things ever
weird?
Changed, I'll let her know.
I kind of thought about cutting bangs this morning, but I resisted. I know.
Mom.
I don't know why. Like, why
Whoa.
Does that come over us sometimes?
Whoa.
Why?
Bad. No.
I resisted.
No, yes. Good job. Way to resist. That would be really shocking. Okay. Next piece. Seek to understand, not to be understood.
I think we should understand and be understood. I think we, like, because I think, first of all, we need to seek to understand, and because that is, like, first we need to listen before we speak. So first we should, maybe if that advice were changed, to, like, first seek to understand, then seek to be understood. So, like,
well,
because
if
you
seek to understand, it'll probably lead to being understood. Boom. Whoa, that was
true,
pretty good.
True.
Because,
whoa, that's good.
Well, that was good. Because if you give it time, if you listen, if you hear the person out, then you can bring understanding with more clarity. Because normally, if you're not being understood, there's a misconnection. You know, there was something
right.
that got lost in translation. So I think that just to try to have
right.
understanding from where
yeah.
that person is coming from, then you can in turn bring understanding
yeah.
and be understood.
That's good, because I think if your goal is like to be understood, then that's really more of a like a you're worried about what you're saying more than what the other person is saying.
Yeah.
And really conversation is about listening, and
yeah.
The conversation flows from that. So I think I get it now. I get the advice, and I think that it's a good one. So whoa, that's good.
Okay, that was actually really good. I like talking about that one.
Some of these you actually have to think about a little bit.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah. Good. You have some good followers.
I know.
Some good advice.
You guys are awesome. Impressed. Okay, yeah. So how about this? I'm actually really interested in hearing what you're going to say about this. Just sleep through your problems so you don't have to deal with them. coming from a 9 on the Enneagram, what do you have to say about this?
I like my sleep.
I know. I'm like, I think I've seen you take a nap or two on a stressful day.
I do like my sleep, but I think in general that's bad advice because, like, sleeping through your problems, you're just going to wake up and they're still going to be there. But I do think sometimes a good nap can cure a lot of things. And even, like, going to sleep at night, sometimes like, you just wake up to a new day, or you wake up after a nap, and you're like, okay, look, this is solvable. This is actually mm-hmm. doable, where if you just keep stressing over it and allowing it to, you know, just bother you and keep you up at night, that's not a good thing either. So,
yeah. Okay, so I have a question for you. We're taking a detour on the Whoa, That's Good podcast. Okay, so there's that scripture, and it says, like, don't go to bed angry, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you translate this into kind of what we're already talking about as far as, like, going to bed? Because you said sometimes a good night's sleep is good for you. But I think if people were to argue, but the Bible says don't go to bed angry, like, where do you think the line is drawn for that?
Mm-hmm. So I think that sometimes you can, like, say, like, look, we're just going to put a pause on this and let's sleep. And then tomorrow it might be a new day. We might have a different feeling, or really pray about it, then go to sleep and then wake up. And you will have a fresh perspective. Yeah, I think you will have a fresh perspective. So I don't think it's like that verse is meaning, like, literally stay up all night and argue it out and fight it out until you solve it. Because mm-hmm. some things are not going to be solved in one night. Like, yeah. It's just not. Like, you can stay up as long as you want, and you're not going to solve this problem. But at the same time, like, whenever you go to bed, don't go to bed with your anger. Go to bed, like, giving it up to God.
Yeah.
And you know, letting go of that, giving it to Him, and then wake up with a new perspective the next day.
That's so good. You know, the verse, like, after that, I read one time, it says, like, don't go to bed angry. It says, don't be angry at another believer. It says, but be angry at the unjust, at the ungodly, of the things that aren't of God. And so it's basically saying, like, sometimes I think we channel our anger towards, like, the person that, like, you know, we're fighting against. Well, we think we're fighting against, but then later in Ephesians, because that was in Ephesians 4 or 5, later in Ephesians 6, it obviously says it's not against flesh and blood. And so don't channel your anger towards that person, or you're just going to keep building on anger. Things are going to become really annoying. Things are going to add up. But if you just actually look at it for what it is, and maybe it's jealousy, maybe it was something that the enemy brought forth, like, be angry at the jealousy, be angry at the enemy, pray towards that to fall and to end, to go away. And then the next day you might look at the person beside you and be like, you know what, nothing's even, like, you didn't even do anything, or you didn't intend to do something that was to hurt me. And you can just talk about it with a new perspective, because you're not looking at it like that person, you're looking at it like, oh, this is so the enemy, no more, not today, Satan. But
girl, that is so good.
Well,
you get so wise.
I have a really great mother, you know. Well, I love you, Mama.
That's awesome.
I'll talk to you
love
soon.
You too. Bye, baby.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the Whoa, That's Good podcast. We got a lot of good nuggets today. Don't forget to follow me on all the social media platforms I'm on. Instagram, I'm at LegitSadieRob. Twitter, SadieRob. And follow our Live Original Instagram. Also, I'm Sadie Robertson on Facebook. Head over to liveoriginal.com and subscribe to this podcast. And while you're there, you can see the tour dates that I'm coming to a city near you. Don't forget, please leave comments in the iTunes section and leave reviews. This podcast is produced by Steve Strout and Peter Hartzell, so a huge shout out to them, and a thank you to my LO team. You guys are the best. We love y'all, and we appreciate you listening. I'll see y'all soon.